Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord. It is indeed a blessing to visit with you by means of radio, to try to encourage you wherever you are, to walk for the Lord and to keep walking away from sin and putting distance between you and sin, putting distance between you and the world, loving not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God, but is of the world. And we are not to let the world be our standard whereby we live and do things and how we are to please the Lord. We do not look to the world and find out what the world says about pleasing the Lord. We look to the Lord, look to the Word of God, and see what the Lord says about pleasing the Lord. God has spoken, and the Bible is what He has said. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. So there is a person who is going contrary to the Word, trying to find an account of what God has said, and is rejecting, neglecting, forsaking God's truth. Such a person has been assured of a hard way to go. They will have a constant way of walking further from the Lord. The more you reject the Lord, the further in the darkness you go. The Lord would have you to be brought to a place to where you will know of His blessings, of His power, of His love, of His mercy, of His grace. He wants you to live for Him. He wants you to be faithful, and He wants you to know how to please Him. Now, just think of this. If and since you are going to have to face God, and God has all this power, and His word is final, and there is no other appeal once He has spoken, don't you think that you ought to try to please Him and to live for Him and to serve Him? Don't you think you ought to try to know what is required of you on that day when you meet Him? I was just driving yesterday along the road and thought about something that the Russians said years ago as an atheistic nation, saying that they went up in space. They were first to go up into outer space. And they said, we went up in space and we didn't see God. And I think as the late evangelist Lester Roloff said, well, if you had opened a window, you would have. If you had opened the door, you would have seen God. Well, they would have met Him. Now, even though they at that time did have their space suits on, if they had placed themselves in outer space, then they certainly would have had some serious problems. And it would have been the end of them. They would have met God. Well, would they have been ready? No, of course not. If they are saying He's not there, they're not ready. A person who knows the Lord and knows Him here in this life, you can know that you're saved. You can know that you're ready to meet the Lord. You can know that now. The Lord has made it so that we can know Him, and you can know that your sins are blotted out. Just visiting with a dear saint today, and had such a pleasure in sharing with her in the hospital that the sins are blotted out. In Psalm 32, the Lord is so good to do that. We can know where our sins are. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. How is it with you? Are you rightly related to the Lord? Have you given your heart to Christ? Do you know that you're ready to meet God? You're going to meet Him one day. Everybody is. Every one of us will meet Him. Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will move upon hearts today, and that there might be many who will forsake the error of the way of going away from the Lord, accept the truthfulness of God's Word and the truth of God's Word. Bless, I pray Thee, this message, and anoint me, fill me with Thy Holy Spirit to speak Thy truth for Jesus' sake. Amen. We have been looking in the book of Genesis in chapter 8, and looking at the flood as the scriptures give to us the account of how the flood came to be and how the waters are going to be taken off the earth. We have seen where the waters came from. Two sources. They came from up on the, on the earth. They came from not only from on the earth, but they came from the windows of heaven. And now all of that water is on the earth, and the Lord is going to remove the water from the earth. And the scriptures tell us in verse 1 that God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. So the dry air passing over the earth evaporates the air and evaporates the water on the earth. You know that when the rain falls on the road and there's a breeze and the humidity is low, then after it has rained, the water that's on the road goes away quickly. Some days you find it's very muggy. The air seems to be very thick. And on other days, it seems to be very thin. I learned of this matter, how it affected aircraft. Helicopters can carry heavy loads on certain days, and other days it cannot. They could carry certain troops on certain number of troops on certain days, and on other days they could carry less than that. That was because the thickness of the air, the amount of moisture in the air. And, well, the earth had a lot of water on it, but the Lord sent a wind on the earth to evaporate the water that was on the earth, and the moisture went back into the air. Someone was telling me that several years ago they were traveling, leaving an area that had been focused as to be the point where a hurricane was going to land. Hurricane Hugo was going to make landfall in this Charleston, South Carolina. The man that was leaving the area, he said that the air for him at that time, he noticed it was quite different. Well, just imagine now when the moisture is pulled out of the air and then brought down as water, and then now the moisture goes back into the air. There's a certain amount of water. We often look up at the sky and see those clouds looking so light as though, you can fly a plane through them. And a fog is simply a low cloud, so you have an idea of what a cloud is like. And then we talk about the sun coming on and burning the fog off the earth. Well, so the Lord dried up all the water that was on the earth, and he put water in certain places, and he gathered it in certain places. And the scriptures tell us after 150 days, when the wind went over the earth, and the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, the waters gradually assuaged. They gradually go away in the first four verses. And then some 2 months and 13 days after that, the tops of the mountains were seen. And 40 days later, there was the appearance of these mountains. The whole mountains was present. And Noah sends out a raven. And then he sends out a dove. The dove comes back. He has to send the dove out a second time after the waters have assuaged or abated even further. Noah is being instructed by the Lord. Remember, there was one window in the top of the ark, and the Lord had this fixed in that way, that they were able to get air and these birds were able to go out. And then after Noah had been in the ark for about 10 months and a half, he uncovered the ark, and the earth was dry. Yet not, it wasn't completely dry, because he still had to wait some time more. In verse 11 and 12, rather, the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And so with all of that time, the olive trees, even though they had been under the water for that length of time, when the water had assuaged on the earth, first tree that is mentioned is the olive branch. We hear of the olive branch. The judgment is past. The peace is now for us, before us. The Lord has poured out his wrath. And now the olive leaf plucked off is in the mouth of the dove. He comes back. We hear of the doves and the hawks when you're speaking of various groups. And so the Lord brings these here back using these two things, the dove and the olive branch, olive leaf plucked off, to send a message to Noah about how things were actually the condition of the earth. And it came to pass in the 601st year, remember in the 600th year of Noah's life, the water came on the earth. And in the 601st year, now he is able to see the ground and it's dry because the Lord had sent that dryness there. And Noah is able to go out of the ark and all of his family with him. And they obey the Lord. So they offer to the Lord a thankfulness, a sacrifice. God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark. Now remember, the Lord says, come thou into the ark. We saw that earlier in chapter 7, in verse 1. Now in chapter 8, he's saying, go forth, in verse 16, go out into the ark. Now, he didn't tell Noah exactly where to go. He just said, go out of the ark. Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son and thy son's wives with thee. And bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of the fowl and of the cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Now remember, the Lord had allowed seed and grain and grass to grow. The olive leaf indicates that there was food for the animals to eat when they were on the earth. And so the Lord provided for them. This is how he cared for them. Go forth. Also the animals, you go out and you multiply. The Lord had then, after this, we find when Noah then goes out and he builds an altar to the Lord. And he makes a sacrifice unto the Lord. In verse 20, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. No, that's what David said. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin. Man's imagination is sinful. And that's the way that we are. That's why we need a Savior. And there is but one Savior, that's the Lord. And the Lord said, I will not smite every living thing anymore as I've done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And that's the way the Lord has made it to be. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless this message again today. Lord, hear from heaven again and bless us afresh. Strengthen us, we ask in Jesus' holy name and for his sake. Amen. I want to invite you to join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway here in Greenville, South Carolina, 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard. May the Lord richly bless you.